Engaging presentations on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Well, hello, friends, and welcome. Happy Trinity Sunday. Glad to have you with us for this scripture time of reflection and prayer. Father Frank Pavone here, pro-life leader Frank Pavone, National Director of Priests for Life. And let's spread the word. Let's share this video with others. Let's invite others to come on for this time of delving into the scriptures on a very important feast day for the church. We reflect on God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So before we begin to pray, I just want to say that I hope you're doing well and are having a great weekend. I certainly am. This is not a weekend of travel. I just got back from a whole flurry of trips, as you know from listening to my daily diary, which I hope you do regularly. But catching up on some things here at the office that require my attention and getting ready for the week to come. And then, of course, doing these broadcasts. It's really great to be with you, and I am doing great. The ministry continues to flourish. Our team is fully united. Our supporters are being faithful, and our enemies are running scared, as they should be, on the political front, on the pro-abortion front. No, they're not doing very well at all. So let's continue rejoicing in the victory God gives us. Let's go into prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Thank you, Father, for the gift of victory, victory of life, victory of truth, victory of grace over sin. Thank you, Lord, for the victory of Jesus Christ over the kingdom of Satan and of death that once oppressed us but does no more. Because death has no more power over Him, the head of the body, the church, and therefore it has no more power over us. Father, we have just celebrated the season of Easter. We have seen that you sent your Son to suffer and die for us. We have seen that he rose from the dead. Father, we have seen him ascend into heaven, returning to your right hand, and giving the promise that he, the Son, and you, the Father, would send us the Holy Spirit. We have prayed for the coming of that Spirit, and we have celebrated last week the great gift of Pentecost, where that Holy Spirit came from you, Father, and from your Son, filling those apostles with light and courage and speech. And therefore now, on this day, we look back at all that we have celebrated, at all that we have recalled, at all that we have experienced. We look back at all the things that have happened in fulfillment of the prophets, and we learn that you, O God, are the Father who sent the Son, and the Holy Spirit who proceeds from the Father and the Son, that you indeed, one God, one mind, one power, one will, are nevertheless three persons. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the Father who sends the Son who returns to the Father and the Son who send the Spirit who leads us back to the Son, who leads us back to the Father. This is the glorious revelation of the Trinity, who you are, O God. We praise you, we thank you. We worship and glorify you. We ask you to enable us to proclaim you throughout the world, the God of life, the God of love. We pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. Okay, let's look at these readings. The first reading is from the book of Exodus. Early in the morning, Moses went up Mount Sinai, as the Lord had commanded him, taking along two stone tablets. Having come down in a cloud, the Lord stood with Moses there and proclaimed his name, Lord. Thus the Lord passed before him and cried out, "The Lord, the Lord, a merciful and gracious God, slow to anger and rich in kindness and fidelity." Moses at once bowed down to the ground in worship. Then he said, "If I find favor with you, O Lord, do come along in our company. This is indeed a stiff-necked people. Yet pardon our sins and our wickedness and receive us as your own." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our response, glory and praise forever. Glory and praise forever. Blessed are you, Lord God of our fathers, praiseworthy and exalted above all forever. And blessed is your holy and glorious name, praiseworthy and exalted above all for all ages. Glory and praise forever. Blessed are you in the temple of your holy glory, praiseworthy and glorious above all forever. Glory and praise forever. Blessed are you on the throne of your kingdom, praiseworthy and exalted above all forever. Glory and praise forever. Blessed are you who look into the depths from your throne upon the cherubim, praiseworthy and exalted above all forever. Glory and praise forever. The second reading is from the second letter of Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, rejoice. Mend your ways. Encourage one another. Agree with one another. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the holy ones greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And on this Trinity Sunday, the gospel reading comes to us from St. John. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God." Trinity Sunday. As I said in the opening prayer, you get a pretty good idea of where this feast comes from, doctrinally and liturgically and historically, because we've just celebrated the Trinity. We've just lived it. In other words, you look back at all the things we've celebrated, right? Well, if you go from the beginning of the liturgical year, we started with Advent, the expectation that God would send his Messiah. Then we learn that the Messiah is actually the Son, equal to God who sends him. And then we see why he sent him, the Lenten season and Passiontide, and Jesus gives himself on the cross, obedient to the Father. He prays to the Father, "Let your will be done, not mine." And the Father, who sent the Son, shows his love as the Son gives himself and then commends himself into the hands of the Father. This is what happened on Good Friday. "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." And then the Son conquered death. And the Son appeared risen from the dead to his disciples. And he said he was going to be ascending into heaven. And then he did ascend, returning to the Father. And they said, "Stay and pray for the Holy Spirit." And before he died, in fact, he started teaching about the Holy Spirit. "He will lead you into all truth. He will pass along to you what he hears from me." And then Pentecost, after our Lord ascended back to the Father and the Son send the Holy Spirit. So today's a day when the church kind of just takes a quick look back and says, "Wow, look what we've learned. So look how God has revealed himself in all these marvelous deeds of salvation history. When we have gone to the core, to the center of our faith, and seen the mighty works of God." In other words, the mighty works of God have revealed who he is. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Father sent the Son. The Son returned to the Father. The Father and the Son sent the Holy Spirit. And then the question is, of course, what does that Holy Spirit do to us when he comes? He leads us back to the Son. He will remind you of all that I told you. Jesus said he doesn't bring a new gospel. He doesn't bring some different way of salvation. It is Jesus Christ alone who is Savior, the only name given to us by which we are to be saved. The Spirit leads us to the Son, and the Son, as Paul eloquently describes to the Corinthians, will, when every enemy has been conquered and the last enemy to be destroyed is death, will present to the Father an eternal and universal kingdom. So we sit back and think, okay, the events that we've just celebrated reveal to us who God is. They also reveal to us what's going to happen to us. This God, and the readings today bring this across, this Holy Trinity, this is not just, some people might think of this as somewhat as of an abstract, conceptual kind of feast, a theological kind of feast. Well, yes, it is. And it is a day when the church does a lot of teaching and preaching about the Holy Trinity. And, you know, there's a sort of like a half joke in theology that you know, you talk about the Holy Trinity just for a few minutes and you're likely to fall into heresy. Not that anyone is intending to do that, but it's difficult to thread the needle. Say, well, there's one God and three persons. Well, okay. There is the Father. The Father is God. The Son is God. The Spirit is God. And yet there are not three gods, but one. The Father is Almighty. The Son is Almighty. The Spirit is Almighty. Yet there are not three Almighties, but one. And it's all true. But how in the world? Well, we can talk for hours and hours about the Trinity. And we have to tread very carefully so as not to fall into one or another form of heresy, either exaggerating beyond the truth the threeness of the persons, or exaggerating beyond the truth the oneness of the Godhead. It's truly one, it's truly three. Okay, so in a sense, yeah, it's a conceptual feast. But what I want to point out to you, and what the very existence of this feast and the meaning of these readings point out to us, is that this is a dynamic feast. This is a feast about what God is doing to us. Because the Holy Trinity, this dynamic of self-giving love, the Father pouring himself out to the Son giving himself back to the Father, the Spirit, the bond of love between the Father and the Son, filling us with that love, leading us back to them, the Holy Trinity is, if you will, a divine, perfect whirlwind that catches us and brings us up into himself, not in a static way, in a very dynamic way, filling us with that same self-giving love. This is why the gospel here today is the one about God so loving the world that he gave, the famous John 3:16, right? He gave. It's what we just celebrated at the cross, right, on Good Friday. He gave his Son. How? Through love. Through inspiring him with such love that he would do that. And that's the point. That he gave his Son, he gave his Spirit, not so just that the Son could love, but so that we could love in a way greater than human strength would allow. He gave the Son so that we could live. He gave the Son so that we could love. We can't love one another without the grace of God. And with that grace, we love one another as Jesus did, and that is fully, completely, totally. And hence we see the second reading. Live in peace and the God of love and peace will be with you. You could say that the other way too. The God of love and peace will come to you, because the Father gives the Son, and the Father and the Son give the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit leads you back into the life of the Father and the Son. The God of love and peace will be with you, and therefore, thereby, by that power, you will live in love and peace. In fact, without that power, you can't. So, what is the practical effect of knowing that God is one in three? The practical effect is that we look at Him and we say, well, Lord, make us one in three. Make us one in 100. Make our family one in however many there are in the family. Some of you are very large families, some very small. Make us one in 4, one in 5. For the larger families, 1 in 12. Make us one. In other words, now not in identically the same way as the Trinity, because we, human beings, are individual persons. But the fact that you can have one God in three persons tells us maybe we can strive for a deeper unity, even though we are all separate persons. How can we kind of get more together? Well, the answer is the self-giving love. You don't have unity without self-giving. You give yourself away completely, as the Father does to the Son, as the Son does to the Father, as the Spirit does to us. He gave. We give. That's the beginning. That's the essence, in fact, of love and peace. And every vocation is a vocation of love. So husband is giving himself to wife, wife to husband, parents giving themselves to their children, clergy giving themselves to their congregation. All of us, married, single, whatever our calling is in life, giving ourselves to the community that we're serving in whatever way we're serving them. And brothers and sisters, this giving is indeed the source of peace. The Holy Trinity, the Feast of the Holy Trinity, really is a feast where we can have a new hope for peace and unity, because we are learning in a as deep a way as we can what self-giving love looks like. It looks like the Trinity. It looks like the cross. Brothers and sisters, Paul concludes this section of this reading that we have today as the second reading with the invocation of the Trinity. Now, the Bible doesn't use the word Trinity, but look what Paul says, and we hear it often at the beginning of Mass. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And it's a wonderful invocation of the Trinity. Jesus invokes the Trinity when he says before ascending, baptize all the nations in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So there's no question that the Scriptures teach the Trinity. The word itself isn't there. But it doesn't need to be. We bring that word along in theology. This first reading, finally, gives us another dimension of this feast, that this Holy Trinity is present. You have this beautiful encounter of God with Moses. Now, God gives his law. Okay, the Trinity reveals himself. The Trinity gives us the law. It's the Holy Spirit who is the finger of God writing that law on the tablets. And then all of this culminates in this experience of the presence and the name of the Lord being shared with Moses, Lord, and telling him his characteristics, merciful, kind, faithful. And Moses worships and says, bring us that mercy. We are not being shown today a God who is distant from us, just watching us from a distance, or who is interested in punishing or destroying us. We are worshiping a God who gives himself completely to us, is all about presence, wants to be with us more than we want to be with him, and ushers us into this infinite self-giving love and life that is the Trinity, and that is, of course, you're listening to me, you are going to hear this theme over and over again, that this is the God, this Trinity is the one who gives life. God did not have to create us. The Holy Trinity would have been perfectly happy, eternally fulfilled, and glorious for all eternity if he had not made anything that he made, us or anything else. God would have been happy without the mountains, the rivers, the oceans, the stars, but he made everything. He made, by his free choice, creation, the crowning of which is human life. In human life, he's revealing the Trinity, life made in his own image. Where two or three are gathered in my name, Jesus says, there am I in the midst. Why did he say two or three? Well, because, brothers and sisters, that's when love begins to be shared. Where there are two, the one can look at the other and give and receive love. God is present, the Trinity, who eternally within himself is giving and receiving love. There never was a time that there wasn't the Son receiving the love of the Father and giving it back. There never was a time when there wasn't the Spirit, that bond of love and giving between the Father and the Son, who then in turn loves them back. Always life. And he makes this life overflow to us. Mother Teresa, whom I knew, said, here's how we end abortion. By teaching the mother how to love in a way that, yes, will disrupt her plans, expectations, desires perhaps, but will fulfill her in love when she gives herself for that child. This is how we confront and overcome the culture of death. The Trinity shows us that self-giving love. The movement of pro-life is motivated by love. Now, I just recently spoke at the Heartbeat International Conference, as you know, if you follow my daily work, and we had there, some 1,400 pregnancy center directors from all around the country. I'll be going at the end of the summer to the CareNet Conference, again, equally large gathering of pregnancy center directors and staff. These are the people on the front lines who every day are encountering the moms and the dads who feel that they cannot give birth to this unborn child. The child already exists. It's not a question of should we bring a child into the world. Now it's a question, should we throw a child out of the world? And what do these pregnancy centers do? Above all, it's not just a matter of providing the baby clothes and the diapers. I've blessed many rooms filled with beautiful baby clothes and diapers all across this land, as I visited so many of these pregnancy centers and continue to do. But brothers and sisters, it's about helping that mom, that dad, those grandparents, and the rest of the family to not be afraid to enter into the life of the Trinity, to not be afraid to give themselves in love, to sacrifice for that new life which is already there. The whole movement, furthermore, is motivated by love. Because the people who are doing that in those pregnancy centers, on the front lines, they are filled with love. And many people will say about them, well, they are the loving arm of the pro-life movement. No, that's not the distinction. They are filled with love. But we all are, in whatever dimension or form of activity the pro-life movement manifests itself. Sometimes it's in the pregnancy centers. Sometimes the manifestation of pro-life work is outside those abortion facilities. You stand out there, as I know many of you do, witnessing, praying, holding signs, sometimes raising your voices, not because you're expressing anger, but because you want them to hear you, even inside that facility. That's love being expressed. Or those of you that are right now knocking on doors and making phone calls to get people to vote the right way on an amendment, a ballot initiative, like the battle going on now in Ohio. This is hard work. Reaching out to people, calling on the phone, getting people hanging up on you, getting doors slammed in your face. Think that's not motivated by love? People that do that and endure that? Working hard on elections. So many of you know what it's like to work on election campaigns. This is work motivated by love. Educating, broadcasting, whatever it is that we do, preaching. This whole movement is a movement of love. If it isn't, it's nothing at all. If it is, then nothing can stop it. Let us love, filled with the Holy Trinity, and proclaiming Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to all the world. Let's pray. Father, we are united in prayer today for the intentions of all our brothers and sisters who are watching now, many of whom have left their prayer intentions in the comments or are still doing so. Lord, we ask you, lift up and regard those intentions with your infinite mercy and grant us the graces of which we stand in need. Answer the prayers that are in the silence of our hearts. Answer the prayers that we all have, Lord God, for the leaders in our country and in our church, for the poor and the suffering, the lonely and the abandoned, the persecuted. Lord God, those who are being punished simply for living their faith. Bless and sustain them. The children in the womb, Lord God, who stand the risk of losing their lives. Those who have had abortions, that they may be lifted up in healing. Lord, we pray today for President Trump and for all those who are running for the highest office in the land. We pray, Lord God, for those who truly believe in the policies that put your kingdom at the center of our concerns and put our own country before other countries. Lord God, we ask you that the principles, the values, the freedom, the God-given rights, the understanding on which this country was founded, an understanding rooted in your word, O God, will be preserved, passed along to our children, and proclaimed to the ends of the earth as a beacon of truth and freedom. Bless us all. Bless those on the front lines of the pro-life movement. Bless those in the pregnancy centers, those praying at the abortion facilities, those doing writing and broadcasting and teaching and lobbying and voting. Bless us all, Lord God, as we build and extend your kingdom, which is a kingdom of peace, of truth, of life, and of love. And now we pray in the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Thank you. I see the comments coming in here. Someone who just said, we pray also for our enemies. As I told you at the outset of the broadcast, they're not doing so well. They'll continue not to do well because they set themselves against what is good, against what is right, against what is true, against what is unifying. Yeah, bless our enemies, Lord, and it's just, they're going to have another bad day today and tomorrow. And so as long as they, because people are your enemies and mine because they choose to be, right? It's their choice. We didn't make them our enemies. They choose to be. So we ask that they'll have the light and the grace to stop choosing that destructive path. So, great to be with you. Now, every day this coming week, we'll have these scripture reflections at 10 a.m. So please spread the word. Bring others along with you. Our online audience does continue to grow. We have so many different platforms that when you put them all together, we're reaching quite a few people. We want to continue to do so, above all, to bring an end to the scourge, the violent holocaust of abortion, and to bless and grow the pro-life effort. So thanks, friends. Thanks for being with us. Donate to our work, if you would. ProLifeGift.org. ProLifeGift.org. We rely only on people like you to do this life-saving ministry. ProLifeGift.org. And thank you for those that are already our donors. And thank you in advance for those who will become. So have a wonderful Sunday, beautiful Lord's Day, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.